I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, well-meaning parents often say they want their children to be colorblind, but new research shows that kids aren't, and that silence about race sometimes leads to troubling attitudes. We'll find out why a little later in the program. But first, thousands of conservatives rallied at the nation's capital this weekend to protest what they consider excessive government spending and President Obama's plan for a health care overhaul. Now, some are calling his idea socialized medicine, but what does that really mean? It turns out there's no need to look to France or Canada or the UK to find out. Massachusetts has already instituted universal health care coverage. So how has the state been living with universal health care? How well is it working? Joining us now to talk about this are Bill Walczak. He founded and directs the nonprofit Codman Square Health Center in Dorchester, Massachusetts. Also with us is Michael Cannon. He's the Cato Institute's Director of Health Policy Studies and a critic of the Massachusetts system. Welcome to you both. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Good to be here.
Bill, I'm going to start with you. You founded the Codman Square Health Center 35 years ago, so you're obviously very familiar with the landscape of healthcare in Massachusetts, how it's changed over the years. So we know there are strong opinions on both sides. We're going to get to those, but I wanted to ask you if you just sketch out for those who are not familiar with how the Massachusetts Health Insurance Program works.
Okay. Well, it's a very complex system because it's a very complex way to deliver care for people in our state. The good thing about Massachusetts is that it's always believed that healthcare is a right, has been a right of people, that a healthy population is important to the Massachusetts economy, and that healthcare provision is important to that goal. And that after that, it gets really complicated.
Okay.
So how the healthcare system in Massachusetts has been developing over the last generation is, you know, there is a certain percentage of our population, thought to be about 10% before this health reform, that was uninsured, and that's 600,000 people. And we had different ways of dealing with it, something called the uncompensated care pool that worked for certain areas that had good safety net systems in place but didn't work for other parts of Massachusetts. So in 2006, our legislature and Governor Romney got together and passed a health reform bill, which essentially is a health insurance reform bill, which created a mechanism to get most Massachusetts residents into some kind of insurance-based system.
So if you already had private insurance, is it reasonable to assume that you kept that insurance?
Oh, yes. And you know, as we all know, that most of our healthcare system works it works okay. It costs way too much money, but it works okay for the people who have health insurance. And that number stays steady. It's, you know, in certain states it's 75%, in other states it's 90%.
And then how did you achieve the near universal coverage for the people who did not have it? And also, just if you would just briefly talk about the mandate. And Michael, I haven't forgotten you, but how do you get to the mandate? I mean, tell me about the mandate. Apparently there is a mandate that you get insurance somehow. You have to participate.
Well, there's a lot of compromises that went into it. There was something of a business mandate that is very, very lukewarm. And then there was the individual mandate, which requires every single person in Massachusetts to have health insurance. Now, how that's provided is complex, as everything else is. But basically, people have to file in their tax forms that they have insurance, and they have to be able to prove it with a letter from their insurance company. If they don't, they have to pay a fine, which is over $1,000 per person in Massachusetts. So that was a way of forcing people to get into their health insurance. It also requires people to purchase health insurance from their employer if it's offered that from their employer.
Obviously, we want to talk about how well this is working. But before we do, Michael, I wanted to ask your objections. Are they philosophical or practical?
Actually, I have both practical and philosophical objections to the approach that they took in Massachusetts and that the president wants to take at the national level. When he said in his address to Congress that we agree on 80% of the measures before Congress, what he was talking about is really the Massachusetts plan. That's the 80% he was talking about. And I think we don't agree on it so much as we haven't had a debate on it yet. But the philosophical objection to that approach is that it would be the first time they've already done this in Massachusetts, but at a national level, it would be the first time that Congress would compel people to purchase a product as a condition for living in the United States, and that product would be health insurance. So the philosophical objection is that that takes away your freedom to choose whether or not to purchase health insurance. And, you know, a lot of people complain that if you don't purchase health insurance, people end up in the emergency room and that and the cost of their care gets shifted to other people. That's actually a small problem. And a lot of people who don't purchase health insurance don't end up in the emergency room. And in fact, most of them don't. But it doesn't just take away your freedom to choose whether or not to purchase health insurance. It takes away your freedom to choose what type of health insurance to purchase. And we've seen in Massachusetts that once it makes health insurance compulsory, the government then has to regulate it very heavily. And the power to define what goes into every health insurance policy in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts or in the country is inevitably captured by healthcare providers who want to force people to purchase coverage for their services. And in Massachusetts, what they've done is they force a lot of people to purchase more coverage than they wanted, not just specific services, but less cost sharing. That takes away your freedom to choose what kind of insurance you purchase and forces people to purchase more, raises premiums. And so we've seen the cost of care go up in Massachusetts.
I want to hear more from Bill on this, but I just want to, on the philosophical question, Michael, I did want to ask, there are areas in which we as a society have agreed that it is appropriate to curtail freedom, i.e. in the area of childhood immunizations, for example. We generally compel people to immunize their children against certain diseases, even if they don't want to. And we say the cost of that is that your child can't go to school if you don't, because we've made a decision as a society that protecting the society overall through this mechanism is worth the abridgment of freedom. And there are those who argue that the same holds true here, is that the cost to society is just unsustainable if we don't do something to extend health care more universally. What's your response to that?
Well, you're talking about there are two types of costs that you should be concerned about. You're right. The costs of our current health care sector are unsustainable. They're growing at an unsustainable rate. If that's the justification for reform, then Massachusetts is precisely not what you want to do, because making health insurance compulsory in Massachusetts has not reduced healthcare costs. It has not reduced the growth of healthcare costs. It has actually increased healthcare costs and accelerated the growth in healthcare spending. So Massachusetts, that 80% of the reforms that President Obama says we all agree on, those would make things less sustainable, not more sustainable. As for the cost of uncompensated care, people showing up in the emergency room not being able to pay for the care that they need, that accounts for at most about 2.2% of healthcare spending. That's a very tiny fraction of healthcare spending in this country. And so trying to fix this problem with compulsory health insurance, well, it would be less costly just to sort of ignore that problem, write it off as the cost of living in a free and decent society.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about the Massachusetts Health Insurance Program. It's considered a model for the healthcare overhaul that President Obama and Democrats in Congress are contemplating on the national level. And we're speaking with Michael Cannon of the Cato Institute and Bill Walczak, who's been very involved with Massachusetts healthcare. Bill Walczak, what about that? Michael is saying that universality has been achieved, or near universality has been achieved, but at the cost of curtailing choice and raising costs. What do you say?
I don't think most people really care all that much about the choice issue. Frankly, most of the people don't have choice. Their employer provides it. There's usually very, very limited choice, and it's based on the employer's willingness to provide insurance. The problem is that the marketplace does not work for lower-income people and working poor people, and that marketplace has not produced a healthcare system that's usable for people, so which is why the Codman Square Health Center exists, because the market did not produce doctors in low-income areas to provide those services. So if we agree as a society that people need access to some kind of health system, health care, in order to be healthier, to be better citizens and, you know, provide more for the economy, then I think that we have to figure out some way of delivering that kind of system. And in Massachusetts, you know, to Massachusetts' credit, it has been playing around with different ideas around this, which may be picked up by the national government. But, you know, but at least Massachusetts is trying to get people who are on the short end of the stick regarding their own personal situation into some sort of system of care. Now, health centers are a great way of providing those services and don't cost a lot of money to do it, but they do need a reimbursement system that adequately reimburses them.
I think it is an interesting question of whether we do as a national community agree about whether healthcare is something that everyone should have access to. And I'm not sure we can resolve that. But what I would like to do in the couple of minutes we have left is ask each of you what lessons you'd like the national leaders to learn from the Massachusetts experience. Michael?
Well, I think that the lesson is that this is not a strategy for reducing healthcare costs. It's not a strategy for improving the quality of care. There are complaints that are coming out of Massachusetts now about access to specialists and about the quality of care overall, that the reforms have made the quality of care worse. I think that, you know, Bill is right. We not only in Massachusetts, but across the country have tried lots of things to try to reform healthcare, improve the quality, and make it more accessible to more people, including people at the margins. low-income families. But what we haven't tried yet is really addressing the problem at its root, at its source, which is that the wrong people control the money. The healthcare sector in the United States, about half of the money is controlled by government. The government delegates, as Bill mentioned, another 25% to employers. And so the system does not serve the people that it's supposed to serve, because any economic system is going to serve the people who control the money. And so this economic system serves basically the special interests. They're the ones who control how the government spends its half of the money, and they are able to block employers in many cases from spending that money more prudently, so that private health premiums aren't growing as rapidly and healthcare is more affordable for that reason. I think that the lesson that we should be taking from Massachusetts is we need to change who controls the money rather than layer more mandates and more regulation on top of an already heavily regulated health sector.
Bill, final thought from you, and I do want to mention you worked on the healthcare task force during the Obama campaign. So again, final thought from you. What lessons do you think that the nation should learn from the Massachusetts experience?
Well, I think the issue around government controlling the system is not exactly true. If anything, the providers think that the government pays too little, and it's a private system that's paying a lot more and through cost shifting. One of the problems that we have is that healthcare is so complicated that nobody really understands, and that includes a lot of elected officials. And when you talk about primary care or federal poverty line or global payments, all these things are arcane ideas to most people. They don't understand it. So what we need to do is we need to simplify the system. I think that there's no way that we can get out of having the government deeply involved in it, because the market does not work in our in the healthcare system and providing services to everyone that needs it. And right now we have over almost 50 million people that don't have health insurance in the country. So overall, what we have to do is we have to create a system that really changes the pyramid and puts more effort, more services in the primary care area through, you know, health centers or other types of primary care services, and make sure we protect the safety net that's been providing those services for so long to low-income people.
We're going to have to leave it there. For now, Bill Walczak is founder and director of the nonprofit Codman Square Health Center in Dorchester, Massachusetts. He joined us from member station WGBH in Boston. We're also joined by Michael Cannon. He's the Cato Institute's director of health policy studies. The Cato Institute is a libertarian think tank, and Michael was kind enough to join us in our Washington, D.C. studios. Gentlemen, thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.